everyone. Welcome to the Discotech Podcast. This is our year-end wrap-up, and we're going to spend a little time talking with some other Trekkies about our favorite Star Trek moments of 2021. Today, we have Marcelo.
Hello.
Hi. We have Tim.
Greetings.
We're joined by Rob.
Hi, guys.
And Daniel Herson, also known as Magpie.
Hello.
And we also have Rachel.
Hey.
Our usual, and Lewis.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. So let's start out. We'll kind of just do a roundtable and talk about what was everybody's favorite moment from the Star Treks we got this year, a moment in an episode that stuck out to you. It could be something just that made you laugh or inspiring. Just what was your favorite? It could be for any reason. Marcelo, why don't we start with you?
I really like the fact that Michael Burnham, this season in particular, is really sort of subdued, and she's not so combative with her superiors, because it's been like a really serious issue for me in the past that Michael Burnham has always gone against Starfleet. She obeys them to a certain extent, but in the past she would obey them to a certain extent and then go turn halfway around and do what she wanted. So it really, I'm really glad to discover that now that she's in the chair, she's sort of playing ball a little bit more, and I'm thoroughly enjoying her, seeing her in the chair and seeing the way that she's grown as a character this season.
Definitely. She's matured as a character, and I think with other captains in the past, like definitely with Kirk, we saw when he was kind of coming through the academy that there was a lot of that. Like, there's definitely a Star Trek history for that kind of coming of age story. What about you, Timothy?
So the most fun I've had this year, Lower Decks was kind of a surprise. I mean, the whole concept of it when that hit last year, I was skeptical that, you know, anybody could make that work. I mean, I'm sure we're all familiar with Galaxy Quest and how well that worked. That was good, right? But I mean, can you sustain that for a whole series? And well, so far, I think the answer's been yes. I've had a lot of fun with it. It pokes a lot of fun, but it's very respectful at the same time. And I really loved the season finale, which, in addition to being, you know, just very silly, lots of laughs, was also, if you leave all the humor aside, was just a good episode of Star Trek. It had all the elements, had the crew working together to solve a problem and save people in trouble, and twists and turns and mysteries and science. And yeah, that was great. I can't wait for the next season.
That was a really good episode. I wonder, yeah, like you're saying, I wonder the serious elements at the end of that one with the captain and what she's going to be going through, what's going to happen next season. But I'm just so thankful for the humor in that. We needed that during this pandemic.
Sure.
We needed some silliness. What about you, Rachel?
I have really liked all of it, for one thing, but I'm really like everything going on with like Prodigy. I love that there's finally, like, of the like current Star Trek, something that I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I could introduce this. Like, if I have nieces or nephews, I love Discovery, but I was like, this is a little too dark.
Sure.
Lower Decks is fun, but obviously not appropriate for children. Sure. But I love it. And I said it this moment, and now this is me like trying to remember. I was like, when was the fact Janeway's coming back introduced? Was that last year? Was that this year? I don't remember anymore. But the fact that like we have Janeway back is so, like, it makes my heart soulful. I'll take her in any form.
Yeah. What about you, Rob?
So I guess a little bit bouncing out of that. I know everybody's sense of time is really shot these days, but believe it or not, the season 3 finale of Discovery did happen in calendar 2021.
Yeah.
You're correct, but also what?
Like- I know it. And if I'm going to pick a moment, I think it's kind of, for me, it's right near the end of the finale when Michael's heading back to the to Starfleet Command. She's got her promotion. It's a really great full circle, not just with the season, but with the series as a whole, because on track to Command was where we started with her way, way back in the pilot. Mm-hmm. And then just like the cherry on top, when she runs into Sahil and he's had his season full circle moment where he's finally got his wish and she's finally got the command that we've been waiting three very long seasons for. And I just thought it was a really, really nice, really nice moment.
I loved their smiles in that scene.
So,
that is so good.
Yeah. Daniel, what moment from episode this year stuck out to you?
So one thing I think about is the fact that this season of Discovery is the first season that's kind of been written after we've gotten these other shows, Picard and Lower Decks, so they could actually start incorporating it. So when we saw them using holodecks in their own bedrooms, it's like, right, we've seen that technology in Picard, but the writers now can cross the other way, which is what you want from a world that has multiple shows simultaneously. This is our reward for having so much Trek.
It's true.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Of course the name of the Vulcan or the Romulan sisterhood is escaping me now.
The Quat'Malot.
Yes. Them. I love
the crossover.
I was like, oh, they're using things. And then also with the technology they're using with Gray.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh yeah, the Picard android stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
I was a little concerned in that scene. There was it almost felt like a throwaway line. Like nobody's tried it since what happened with an Admiral Picard. And I thought, did something go wrong? What? Why aren't we trying it? Why didn't this become a thing? That concerned me just a little bit. Like, are they telling us that we're going to have a short run of Picard? Like, it just felt a little ominous, his tone.
It didn't quite hit me like that, but it did kind of strike me as, boy, it's interesting that they're closing off any potential storytelling by dropping a line like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, feel like they could very easily be like, there was something off the records.
That's very
Section
true.
31. Like,
What about you, Lewis?
Well, I think we had a very good year thinking about Star Trek. And my favorite moment, maybe it's the season finale of Lower Decks. I'm looking forward for next season, what is going to happen. And I think Prodigy was a very nice surprise. Like, I didn't expect to be the way it is. So I'm also looking forward for more episodes of Prodigy.
Mm-hmm. So has everyone been keeping up with Prodigy as it's been coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And what a nice surprise it's been. Like, I kind of had high expectations from the trailer, but that pilot episode just knocked my socks off. It was so good. The animation was good. The characters were compelling. The music was incredible.
The music was so good. I just, like, at some point I got, because I obviously knew it would be different than Lower Decks, but I was just like, oh, I am not used to seeing, like, this hype, like, pretty realistic animation in Star Trek.
It's
like
pretty,
Lower Decks,
pretty
lower, and I love the Lower Decks animation. It's like perfect for that tone of that show. But I was like, oh, this looks really cool.
Yeah, like when they said CGI, my mind kind of went to Clone Wars, Rebels, that kind of thing. And then they debuted it, and it's like, wow, I can't believe how good this looks. I thought that was only something that like Disney money could buy.
Yeah, and maybe that's, although maybe the Disney movie is why the newer Star Wars shows look a little better.
So let's switch gears. We'll do the trivia next, and then we'll wrap it up with our favorite fan moment. Okay. First question, on what date did Star Trek The Next Generation commence airing in broadcast syndication in the United States? Timothy.
September 22nd, 1987.
Close, but no.
Aww.
Rob.
I actually did have the 23rd in mind. I'm not doing Price is Right rules.
Closest without going over. It's actually also wrong. Anybody else? Everyone's close, but
I wasn't born. I don't know.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't born yet either. Sorry.
And it didn't air at this point for Lewis, right? You got it later.
Yes, like 5 years later.
Wow.
This question is totally unfair.
5 years later? That's like unfair. That's really unfair.
Four. More like four.
Okay. Mm.
That's not so better. Like,
what do you mean? But four is better than five, right?
I mean, it's better, but it's not great. Like,
actually, it was 2 years later, but they canceled it and they took it again 4 years later.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh.
That's very weird. Okay.
It was September 28th, 1987. You guys were really close.
So close. So close. I was 2 years plus 1 month old.
I was a little bit more than that, but not much.
Question number two. What Star Trek character said this quote? Things are only impossible until they are not. Tim.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Correct.
See, I knew that one because in Star Trek timelines, that's one of the things Picard will just say over and over again when you use him.
Yep.
It's a good quote.
Season one.
It is a good quote.
Episode 16, when the ball breaks. All right. Next question. Everyone's hand back down. In the Star Trek Insurrection movie, the crew of what ship rebelled against Starfleet? Rob.
Enterprise E.
Correct. I always get confused the letters at the end of the Enterprise. So to me, fair. Yeah. Okay. Who plays Laris in Picard? Actress name.
I feel bad now.
No, I have no idea. So don't feel bad. I have no idea.
I know it too because I've seen her in another show and I just can't remember what her name is.
I mean, that's what my brain is doing too. That's why I feel bad. I was like, oh, I actually should know this.
Yeah, I came all right. Across Twitter when they wrapped filming, she was sad to keep taking off the years, but I can't remember her name.
No guesses?
Mm-mm.
I got nothing.
Okay. Nope. It was Orla Brady.
Oh, that's it. And it was Into the Badlands that I saw her in.
Oh, that's a good show. That's a really good show.
It was. I liked it too.
Yeah.
Next question. In Star Trek Nemesis, what was the name of Picard's clone? Oh. Rob.
And that would be Shinzon, Mr. Tom Hardy, Venom, and a million other roles where you can't understand a word he's saying.
Yes.
I was born in the darkness.
Oh, the one I knew.
I like him in that role, but I always wish it was the man that plays him in the X-Men.
McAvoy. Yeah.
Yes,
I just feel like I am not a huge fan of Nemesis, but I think it would have been way better if the villain had been Sela instead of a clone.
It also doesn't help that Tom Hardy does not look like Patrick Stewart. You can't just shave a man and okay, you can't look at Patrick Stewart and then get the man with the fullest lips I've ever seen and be like, yeah, that's the same person.
Have you seen that photo where it's like the smiling young Picard, Tom Hardy, and it looks like Andy Samberg playing Tom Hardy playing Picard?
Yeah.
They did apparently take dental molds of Patrick Stewart's teeth and make prosthetic dentures for Tom Hardy.
That's kind of uncomfortable somehow.
Yeah.
That was like the one thing they could do though.
Yeah, but didn't they like do some prosthetic work on Tom Hardy's face too to make him look more like Patrick Stewart?
Yeah, a little bit.
Honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah. Next question. How many episodes are there of Star Trek Deep Space Nine? Rob.
This was a case of raising my hand faster than I had the answer. I think it's 174.
So according to Wikipedia, fandom. What's the name of it?
Memory Alpha?
Thank you. According to Memory Alpha, I just went way back. There are 173 and three are feature length.
Which three are feature length, I wonder?
Emissary, Way of the Warrior, and What You Leave Behind.
Ah.
Because I couldn't remember the answer being in, like, I think one of Alexander Siddig's Zoom calls, and they had this exact one. And Iris Duvair was there, and he's like, I'm not sure because it depends on how you count the episodes.
Yeah, this has been a whole thing with Memory Alpha and their weird way of counting things, the whole 800 episodes thing.
All right, next question. What decade, because there is not a specific date that I found. So what decade was Section 31 founded? Marcelo.
Are we talking about in Star Trek or like our proper decade?
So in universe, not when we. Okay.
Then I'm out.
Okay, Rob.
I'm doing a little bit of guesswork here, but it's there because it was part of the Starfleet Charter, and we saw flashbacks in Enterprise, I think, into the 2140s. So I'm going to say 2140s sometime. Correct.
Yes, well done.
Good job. See, that involves doing math, which I can't do.
I can subtract 10.
Yeah, I suck at math. So.
I would say I could do that, but half the stuff that's edited out of the podcast, right, do an actual play, is just me trying to do math real quick. I don't know why I chose a hobby with so much math. I wasn't smart.
Math is not my strong suit either. I got you.
It's all kinds.
All right. Next question. Who composed the main title theme for Star Trek Voyager?
Oh, that's...
Tim.
Gary Goldsmith.
Oh. Yes.
Frustration among the rings. All right. Next question. What kind of alien species is Neelix? Rob.
Neelix is a Talaxian.
Yes, he is. All right. Here's another quote question. Who said, the Borg is the ultimate user. They're unlike any threat your Federation has ever faced. Rob, quick with the buzzer.
That was Q in Q Who, and I just had that episode on the other day.
That's correct. How many ships were lost at the Battle of Wolf 395? Rob, again.
39 lost out of 40 sent.
Yes. What class is the USS Melbourne? Tim.
Wild guess, Nebula class.
Excelsior
class. Ah. Oh. They're all Excelsior class.
I had my hand up for the steal, even though
I
didn't know the answer, and Excelsior wouldn't have been it.
Yeah, I was gonna. I would have guessed like Constitution.
Around in TNG.
I was thinking Miranda, but whatever.
Oh, okay. Okay, two questions left. We have a runaway lead here, but two questions left. Basically, there is no hope, but second is a possibility. Second place is still a possibility. What species is Guinan? Rob.
Should I? Or
go for it.
Guinan is an Elorian.
Yes. Last question. In the episode... The child, what crew member becomes pregnant? Tim.
Counselor Troy.
That is correct. Wow. Rob, let's see.
Rob is much quicker on the draw than I am tonight.
Same.
I wish I was.
And also knows a lot more answers.
I wish I was a sponge for useful information as much as I was for Star Trek trivia. I would be a lot better off in life.
We have a runaway lead here. Rob took it all with 7, and Tim had 3. Well done.
your joke about I wish I had useful knowledge is the game show actually, which is like on the internet, it's always like nerdy stuff. The last question they asked, I was like, here's something you should just know as an adult. And there's one person, their claim to fame is they've always gotten those right on the answer. She's like, I don't know all this stuff, other stuff that I spent all the time thinking about, but apparently I'm a good adult. Like,
which counts for something. So fandom moments. This can be something that happened on Trek Twitter. If you went to a con this year or met a Trekkie in the wild. Something positive. We'll focus on something positive for the end here. And just something good that happened this year, Star Trek related, in any loose, tangent-y way is totally fine. I want to hear your stories. Marcelo.
So two things happened to me this year that I couldn't have been more thankful for. The first thing was I got followed by a Twitter account that looked like the official Star Trek Twitter account, but after further inspection, it was just a fan account. So after I noticed that, I posted a call to action for all my Star Trek friends to actually make the official Star Trek Twitter page aware of this, that I got conned. and like 30 minutes later, I got followed by the official Star Trek Twitter page. So for me,
that's fun.
But for me, I have to thank Dan Decker, because he's the one that got the Commander Dan Decker that got the ball rolling on that. And I felt so much love from the Star Trek fan community, you know, for getting the word out there that I had been conned by this other Star Trek Twitter account. So that was one moment. But the other one was when I got to interview a Star Trek fan legend by the name of Larry Nemechek. That was like,
oh, wow.
That was amazing. He is, if the universe wanted to make a Star Trek library, he would be the guy in charge of the entire library. He is amazing. He was so much fun to talk to, and the shit that he knows, it's unbelievable. It's crazy. So yeah, those were my two top favorite moments of the year for me.
Rob, you want to go next?
Okay. I guess rewinding a little bit to fall, winter of last year, I made friends with a couple of people. One of them, some of you might know her on Twitter. She goes by the handle Giraffe. And the other one, Aaron. Around this time last year, Giraffe and I kind of got this running joke going about our non-existent fake podcast, Wild Tribble Chase. And it's just become this stupid running gag all this time. And around the same time, the Delta Flyers podcast that Robbie McNeil and Garrett Wong run were running a Twitter contest about winning a Christmas mug last year. And that was something that Aaron was trying to get, and I was helping with that. She didn't win, which kind of irritated both of us, but, we tried so hard.
I still remember that too.
We did. We tried so hard. I did so many so many stupid photo minips. It was so much fun. but anyway, heading into the new year, I mean, we got closer. We all traded phone numbers. We have a group text and all that. And I ended up engaging a couple of graphic artists, including my sister, to use the mug images from that contest to get a flattened image so I could get a mug made. And around the same time, I approached you, Marcy, because I know you do some really cool art. And I got you to do us that super cool poster of the three of us on the bridge of the original Enterprise as cartoon versions of ourselves.
That was so much fun.
With a nice big...
Sorry? That's her artwork, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Put the big, like, Wild Tribble Chase in original series font on it as if it was a poster. I got it printed out like a poster. And then a couple months ago, they both live in California. I took a trip out to California, and the three of us spent about a week hanging out. And their birthdays are about a week apart, so that was my birthday gifts for both of them. We had a ton of fun. Giraffe ended up getting the poster actually framed after I went home.
Aww.
Yeah, we had tons of fun. We did Star Trek VR. We did, the three of us went out in our uniforms out to Vasquez Rocks outside of LA and took a ton of pictures out there. Yeah, it was a blast. So, I mean,
It's great.
Trek fandom can be tons of fun and connect you with great people. And I'm super, super thrilled that I've made some really, really good friends through it.
That's great. Yeah. I remember you said you got to see the rocks. That's really cool. I need to make a pilgrimage. What about you, Tim?
So I'll echo some of that. That, you know, one of the great things about Star Trek is, you know, meeting all sorts of different people and getting to know each other. And that's a theme that's been echoed, you know, all throughout all the shows and, you know, through to this day. I mean, it was just a couple of weeks ago on Discovery, they said sometimes the most important thing you can do is reach for each other. And mm-hmm. here we are, we're a bunch of nerds on a podcast, but yeah. we're having a great time. So, you know, with the pandemic, it's been weird. You know, one of my things is I love going to the movies. It's always kind of a magical experience. You know, lights go down. It's like you're going someplace else without ever leaving mm-hmm. your seat. That's something I've really missed. And, you know, my circumstances have changed a little bit over the last year, but I did get to go out to the movies a few times over the summer, including to a special anniversary screening of Star Trek IV, which was a lot of fun. Because there is still a pandemic on, I was grateful that there were not too many people there. It was on a weeknight, you know, was kind of dead, but there were a few folks, and there was one family that came, and the dad was in costume, and the rest of them looked like they were having a good time. So, you know,
that's cool.
It was kind of heartwarming.
Lewis, do you have one?
Possibly. I don't know.
Nope.
No. we have like a big scandal here for Discovery, but I don't know if that is positive. The end result is positive.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do. Yeah. I feel like they really kind of like they pulled out all the stops on making it work mm-hmm. Internationally. And it did kind of come together like a patchwork quilt.
Yeah.
Of coverage for the show, but that they did really move heaven and earth to get that for the fans. I did like the way that the cast handled that whole debacle. They
mm-hmm. absolutely, yeah,
they were really great and really, really supportive and just reaching out to the fans on Twitter. And mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't even tag anybody in my tweets about it, and they were liking what I was saying about yeah. it and yeah. interacting, and people were getting replies, like absolutely. Not famous people, just like regular people like us were mm-hmm. like getting replies and responses from cast members on the show. And yeah, they really
I saw Anthony Rapp and Wilson Cruz in particular were all mm-hmm. over Twitter mm-hmm. with this.
It was super obvious they didn't know because they had literally just been in Europe.
Yeah, they had just been at DST London yeah. promoting it. Yeah, it'll be yeah. out on Thursday, guys. Yeah. And then Tuesday comes along and sorry.
They must have felt so bad. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I have another positive moment. We had the Strange New Worlds trailer and the reaction of all people. Mm-hmm. I think it was a really good surprise. We have Uhura and the INR character. Mm-hmm. So I think that was one of the very positive moments of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great pick. I loved that too. And that Uhura moment and giving Una a last name and the Khan descendant, that was so cool.
What about you, Rachel?
So I would say that people also both on like TikTok and on Twitter, like people's reactions to like my Star Trek videos have been nice. And the one thing that's gotten me noticed by Larry Nemechek retweeted one of them. Which and then followed me, and that's very weird. Why does Larry Nemechek follow me on Twitter? And the Hegelman brothers retweeted and like followed me after my reaction to, I think it was the first time you saw the art of all the Prodigy characters except Janeway. And I think I just ended up by being like, I will die for Murph. I don't know if we knew his name yet, but I was like, I'll die for him. Like,
I piggybacked off that follow and was responding to that, and you responded to me and I followed them, and I drew a piece of artwork, and then they followed me, and I was like, yes, I was like, we know Rachel.
And there's just, yeah, I do a bunch of different, and also like Trek Talk is fun if people ever go on there. And I think that has really helped me grow like my following on both. And yeah, it was just fun. Like I've like dressed up like in uniform, like one that I threw, like I did some dry shampoo and made my hair look grayer. And I was like, I'm Pike now. Because it occurred to me that I had a uniform to be number one. And I was like, this is the same uniform for Pike. Just keep my
sleeves
down.
Right. I've seen you tweet photos of that. Yeah. It's an awesome uniform.
Thanks. From eBay. And so, yeah, I think just it's been really nice seeing like people's reaction in my videos, and even just like silly ones where I'm like, look, me making silly videos about like Star Trek ships as in relationships, not the ones flying on. That's always so weird to like, it's the only fandom I have that problem with.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think, I've had so many positive interactions with fans this year. I think just, I'm really thankful for the ongoing support for these little drawings that I do and post on Twitter. And
because
just,
they're the best.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And some of the people in here right now giving me thumbs up. Yeah. And Marcelo, and he's like, yes.
Big fan. Sorry.
Marcelo's maybe my biggest fan on Twitter. He's he says, after my husband and my mom, he's my biggest fan. So, and I think he's probably right. Yeah. And I think I wouldn't have, you know, I've been in fandoms before and been too afraid to post anything that I've drawn, just afraid of the reactions and stuff. And I think a lot of artists feel like that, because it's, you feel like you're putting yourself out there. But mm-hmm. the Trek fandom on Twitter is such a safe place for artists, and just such an encouraging environment that you can put something up there and it's great or it's not great, and they're still gonna hit like and be like, good job. And you're gonna have that energy and carry it into the next one.
Marcy, so, yours are always great.
No. They are.
So I would just say that, just the ongoing support and the encouragement for my art has just been really, really helpful for my growth and just sticking with it as I'm learning about it. So, well, thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast, and I had such a good time, and I hope the trivia wasn't too hard.
Rob
is the man. Look at that.
Next time, Rob.
Yeah. Maybe next time we'll do like a round circle, like, and then you can steal questions from each other. But the buzzer, he ran away.
It was fun, though. I enjoyed it.
It was fun.
For sure. All right. Yeah. Thanks again. And I hope everyone has a good Christmas and a good New Year's, a safe New Year's. And we'll see you in 2022.
Thank you for having us, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.